Thank you very much, Pastor Bill. And greetings, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see each one of you looking so good.
Amen.
Your worship was good. And
yes.
Bless God for His goodness.
Amen.
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 As I was reflecting on what to share, the subject of the sovereignty of God remains with me. I have been exploring it, reading about it, and I continue to think about it. Let me begin with a short story. In Uganda, some of you know that I'm originally from Uganda. And I think, like they say, you can take the African out of Africa, but you can't take Africa out of
Africa.
So, about 3 weeks ago in Uganda, there was a death. It was a young man, 29 years. He is the son of one of Uganda's leading intercessors. Mm-hmm. And actually, I dare say, Africa's leading intercessors, because they even started Intercessors for Africa ministry. Mm-hmm. And this young man, 29 years, almost making 30. A week prior, had celebrated his first anniversary of marriage.
Mm.
And he succumbed to a very short illness. Very tragic in many ways. To the extent that people have talked about all sorts of possibilities. Could it have been foul play? Could it have been illicit? His death kind of swept the nation of Uganda off its feet, as his wife, who is an Australian, and her name is Faith, started a movement praying and calling upon the Lord to resurrect her husband and believing that this young man would resurrect. Eventually, he was laid to rest. And I don't mean to pull your spirits down. I hope that's not what I'm doing by sharing what I'm sharing. But of course, for some of you who may remember, that was a story that resonated with me.
Yes, sir.
With us as a family, as we reflected and thought about this young man. Because in him, we saw our own. And it left the question in my mind. And that question has been there, and I believe it will be there. And I want to imagine that I'm not the only person with that question in my mind. But why does a loving God allow terrible things to happen to His own? And even as I reflected on what Pastor Pat has been sharing with us and preaching about and teaching from the book of Job, I did not want to speak from the book of Job because I don't want to disrupt the flow of the message and the Spirit of God who is moving through Pastor Pat as he shares with us from the book of Job. Nonetheless, the Bible is full of people who were godly.
Yes.
Yes.
I am actually, the other day when I was reflecting, I said, is there anybody that I know of in the Bible that served God and did not go through
come on now
this pain or did not experience
any pain
any pain or this challenge.
Come on, that's a good question.
Everybody.
That's a good question.
And I say to myself, yes, Jabez. And then my own reflection say, no. Those of you who remember the prayer of Jabez, somewhere in the book of Chronicles?
Yeah.
The Bible says he prayed that he would not experience the pain that his brothers and all the others had experienced. But even because his own name spoke of the pain into which he had been born, he must have grown up with pain.
Right,
absolutely.
He must have seen his mother struggling and crying, and so that's why he cried to God. So even he experienced pain.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because I believe most of you know that he didn't experience any pain, right? Praise the name of the living God.
Amen.
So I went, and I want us to go together through the story that we all know very well, the story of Hannah in the book of Samuel. First Samuel or Samuel, I don't know whether it's Samuel or Samuel.
As you say,
is it Samuel or
Samuel?
Samuel.
That one. You know who I'm referring to. In the book of 1 Samuel, the story we all know very well, chapter 1, and I'll beg for your patience as I drive through this story. And today I might decide to use Ugandan time. and not American time.
Amen. We celebrate that.
I don't know whether it's true. I haven't yet found that pulpit, but I was told that there was a brother who came from Uganda to preach somewhere in the United States. I don't know whether it was a real story or one of those WhatsApp fables that have no origin, but somehow they make a lot of sense to people. That he was preaching, and in Uganda, you know, we don't look at our watches, and so he preached, and he went on, and went on, and went on. But they had told him when to stop, and the time, you know, here, everything is programmed, right?
Unfortunately.
You have been programmed when to breathe in, and when to breathe out. Now, I understand as he continued to talk, and he would not end, and he would stop on. They pressed a button and the ground opened and his pulpit began to sing. And he went down to say, yes, I'm telling you. So please don't press the button. First Samuel chapter 1, let's begin at verse 6. And this is one of the verses that kind of touched me. Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb. I come from a country that I believe is a walk in the spirit. Not necessarily the God of heaven. But everything has to be explained spiritually.
That's right.
Everything.
Yes.
Nothing happens by accident.
Right.
Nothing just happens. So there must be a spirit. So behind everything, there seems to be a spirit. But anyway, just when I was beginning to blame that little country called Uganda, I drove here this morning and I saw hundreds of cars parked at the Cox Farms coming to buy pumpkins for Halloween. And I know that is exactly the same thing. So it's not only about Uganda. But in Uganda, when a woman cannot give birth, she's married, she can't give birth. Some. Among the non-Christian, there must be some bad omens, some spirits, something. Now, we get saved, we get born again, we become Christians, and it doesn't change. But among the Christians, you know, people come to church and, oh yeah, it's the devil. It's a demon. How many of you haven't heard about people casting out demons from almost everything? It's a demon. This is the enemy. It's a spirit. And so, if Hannah lived in our time today, people would have said, that's the devil. And would have been praying and casting out that demon. And praying for her to be delivered. To be given child. Be given the child. And the Bible clearly tells, God has closed Hannah's. So that raised the question in my mind. Where does God stop? And where does the devil start from? Where does the devil start? And where does God stop? I don't know. Because, and again I will revisit the going home of our son George. Somebody came to visit us as we were going through that moment. And he was lamenting how the devil has robbed us of a young man. How the devil has really, this is the devil. And I said, brother, stop. It's not the devil. Because, and he looked at me in this minute, because he had really thought that I would be riding along. They said, no, it's not the devil. I said, yeah. I said, it is God. It is God. And he looked at me and he couldn't believe. And he wanted to hear more, and I said, I'll give it to you. Because the Bible says, a thief cannot take what belongs to a powerful man.
Come on.
That's right.
Unless he first binds up the strong man. So if the devil has taken my son who belonged to God, did the devil bind up God?
No.
Yeah.
So when you get sick, when you get unwell, when you struggle, when you lose a job, when you lose a business, when you're going through challenges, is God involved? Or is it the devil? Job would not have gone through what Job went through if God not allowed it.
Yes, sir. That's a hard one.
So, Hannah's womb had been closed. Not the devil. But today, we give so much glory to the devil. Oh my God, I think the devil is confused. Did I really do that? I mean, we give him so much glory. We praise him so much. He does so much. But on the other hand, we blame him for things he says. Really? I wish I'd done it, but I'm not the one. Many of you have been young, and you know, maybe you people who grew up in wonderful families. Yeah, I grew up with 10 siblings. And something would always happen, you know, in a family of 10 siblings. Something will get lost. Somehow the sugar will run down very quickly. That's the biggest culprit for young people. With the cookie jar. We don't have a cookie jar, but we have the equivalent of cookie jar. The cookie jar will somehow get empty. The parents will want to find out who did it. And everybody's like, not me. Why does a loving God allow bad things to happen to good people? And I'm sure most of us have asked ourselves that question. Lord, why me? Why am I going through all this? Why do you allow this to even happen to me?
Yes.
Do I deserve this? Mm. Father, haven't I done more? Don't I deserve better? Mm. Let me see whether I'm the only one who has ever thought like that. Mm-hmm. Anybody thought like that?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have another one in this chair? So, verse 10. Let me start from 9. Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, or Eli, as I would say in Uganda, the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. Anguish has a way of drawing us close to God.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
It has a way of captivating something inside us that longs for God and desires to hold on to God and cries out,
yes,
because you have run out of answers,
yes,
on your inside and the outside.
Yes.
And
yes,
all you can do is stand,
yes,
to the mighty God of glory,
yes,
and,
yes,
say, God.
Come on.
Let me tell you, when you are in anguish, you are not holding a conversation with God. No, it's battle. This woman, by the time the Bible writes that deep anguish, she must have been
wrestling.
Yes.
And there are moments when that is what prayer is.
Amen.
There are moments when that is all we can do. That's why the Bible says, we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit of God intercedes for us.
We
groan too deep for what?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Days on your knees, and all you can do is, go.
Come on. Come on.
Oh!
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Come on.
And those who look don't understand. They don't know.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, brethren, out here, even right in this church, each one of us, I was telling to my, we were discussing with my wife as we drove here, I said everybody is a story and has a story.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And when we meet, we all put on our best.
Yeah.
And each one of us has a story. Once you are in that room and you close those doors, and it is you, and sometimes you put off the light, so it's the darkness around and you can't see much, it is you. It's what we do. We try to run away from ourselves. We sit in big cars, we tint them, and we put on loud music. We are trying to run away from ourselves. We are trying to run away from the me. And so you put on a TV and you buy a TV with a screen larger than yourself,
right,
so that you can really feel like, yes.
Yes.
You build a house and put there 10 bedrooms, but you can only sleep in one. You buy a 6-foot bed, but you can only sleep in 1 foot.
Right.
The other side, you will not. Hannah was in anguish. Anguish has a way of drawing us to God. I hope whatever we are going through, rather than push us away from God, is drawing us to God. I hope so. Because things are not going to get any better. From now on, things are only going to get worse. Why are you saying that, Moses? I don't know. That's what the Lord has put on my tongue to say.
Yeah.
Things are only going to get worse.
Uh-huh.
I hope your anguish, I hope your pain will draw you to God rather than draw you away from God.
Come on. Come on.
Because anguish has a way of raising our faith.
Yes.
Verse 11. And she made a vow. Where it comes from, we say vow. I think here you said vow, right?
You
did a vow or a vow?
Vow.
She made a vow.
That's right.
I tell many stories that I would have told you another one, but I will not make it later. And she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I'll give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Hannah made a vow.
Yeah.
I know that when you are in pain, our brother was talking about writing a journal. I know many people who write journals. I know somebody who was telling me, as I think of it, in the books of journals. Now he doesn't know how to use them. But we have prayed. The problem is we pray so much and forget what we pray. Our brother said it. We pray. And then as soon as you are praying, Lord, if I get a job, in the name of Jesus, the fastest salary in all that will bring into the church. Father, if you give me a business and I will become a successful man, I will be the one funding the ministry. The church will never lack money again.
Come on now.
Father, if you take me through this situation, if you heal me of this illness, Lord, I will sing and dance in my house that
yes.
day. People will see and wonder. And you got me. And you never even sang.
Come on. You got the message. You got the message.
Lord, if I get married, how is my household in the God fearing manner? This woman made a vow. What vows have we made? I don't want you to tell me, but I know I have made vows. And I know each one of you has made vows. The policeman is walking over to you because we are speeding, driving 20 above speed limit. No, you are a Christian, you don't drive above speed limit. Amen. And this time the policewoman or policeman walks over and saying, Lord, oh God, we must go. Just release me this time. How is that speaking to the police officer comes and says, oh man of God, whatever, you know, so okay, somebody. You're driving to a speed limit, you say, I'm so sorry of you. Okay, I'll let you go, but please.
Tell the story.
Had Pastor Tony Evans talk about it. No, Tony Evans?
Tony Evans, yes. Pastor Tony Evans.
They stopped him. He was driving. He must have been 10, whatever it was. I'm going to preach. The officer said, okay, go back, please. As soon as he left the officer, because he has lost time, he has to increase. A few meters ahead. So he's going beginning again. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Officer, please. You know, I am so sorry. And at that time, time the other police officer pulls up and he says, I'm done.
Yes, indeed.
Have you made vows in Christ?
Have
you spoken things as you pray? You know, walking with the Lord, what the Bible says, this woman was married to her husband, but he was a shared husband, and the other woman had a son and daughters, but she was alone. And you know, walking with the Lord can be a lonely journey.
Okay.
Holding on to your faith can be a lonely journey.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
A journey that only you understand. Even the people you live with in the house.
Right.
They don't understand. They will never know how many tears you cry. They will not know. King David said, you can collect my tears in a bottle. They will not know how many bottles of tears you shed. It can be a lonely journey walking with the Lord. Verse 12-14. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine, woman. How long are you going to be drunk? Put away your wine. Wow. People will misunderstand. Do they misunderstand me?
God
is speaking, they misunderstand. And the people of God will misunderstand.
Yes.
And today the world is so full of prophets. Well, let me tell you another story again. About the brother again who came from Uganda and went to visit a certain church. I don't think it was here in the US, I think it was in a different country. And he's one of those who works in the prophetic. But if you know how the prophetic works, you know that sometimes the unction comes and sometimes it doesn't. And you're praying and saying, Lord, I want to speak into this situation, but the Lord is quiet. So when the brother got there, he found there was a man in that church who was ushering and cleaning up and doing things. But he's one of these brothers who were very rich, but decided to serve the Lord by humbling himself to the ushering work. So this man of God from Uganda came in and saw this brother and began to prophesy over him. Brother, the Lord says, you're so Eli, the man of God, is looking at Hannah, only sees the lips moving, and believes she's drunk. How many of us have looked at people because they don't pray the way we do and we say they can't be Christian? I come from a country where if you drink wine, you can't be born again. And so the first time I went to the United Kingdom and I was invited by the pastor to go to his home for Christmas, there were two bottles of wine.
Of course.
And I said, but this is the man who has been speaking in tongues on the pulpit. I couldn't reconcile inside. Have we misunderstood people?
Yes.
Have people misunderstood us? I read that book and I referenced that book many times when I talk by Steve Covey. Seven Habits of the Most Highly Effective People. One of the habits is seek first to understand.
Come on.
Before seeking to be understood.
Come on.
We are so quick to judge others and write them off and,
come on.
And see ourselves as better than them. But Paul said, think of others more highly than yourself.
That's right.
Verse 15 through 16. I can see some of you in your room. Hannah answers and says, not so, my Lord. Hannah replied, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief. Knowing whom you believe. Number one, determines how you relate with them. Hannah knew the God she was believing. She knew if she cried to him in anguish, he would answer. Number two, knowing the person you believe in will make you hold on to what they have said to you. Hannah knew the God who had spoken was the God who can fulfill his promise.
Amen.
The Bible says in Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God will perform exploits. If you know God, you will hold on to him. And I like those three boys. I remember their Babylonian names. I don't remember their Jewish names, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego.
That's right.
They said our God will keep us out of that fire. He will save us from the fire. He will deliver us from the fire. Oh, but I like what they added more than what they said at that stage. Because they said, but let it be known unto you, O King, Daniel chapter 3, verse 16, that even if he does not save us from the fire, we shall still serve him. We shall not serve your images that you have set us. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and even if he slays me, I still will hope in him. Praise the name of the living God. Hannah says, I am not drunk. But you know the interesting thing? She was okay to appear drunk. She was okay to appear different. Today, one of the problems that the church is facing and is experiencing is called conformity.
Come on now.
We all try to fit in. We all try to belong. We all try to look good. We all try to look like everybody else. We all don't want to be misunderstood. Nobody wants to be misunderstood. So nobody is willing to step forth and try out something different. Even when the Lord is saying to you, this is your moment. Step forth. Speak the word. You want to be politically correct.
Come on now. Come on.
Political correctness is the biggest challenge in the church today. That's why Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. And he says, be ye not conformed to the standards of this world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Praise the Lord. Verse 17. Eli answered, go in peace. Eli, you're talking to a drunkard. Hey, that you may be drunk with the Spirit of the living God.
Yeah. Amen.
Because the Spirit of God in you will activate the Spirit of God in other people.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
This woman had the Spirit of God, but the prophet of God had gone to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spirit of God inside of her,
come on, man,
activated the Spirit of God inside of Eli and prompted a word from the prophet. And the prophet says, go in peace and may God, the God of Israel, grant you what you have asked him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The power in the word of God. Let me tell you something, brethren.
Right.
You know, I'm going to ask that we stand up for 1 minute. Let us stand for 1 minute.
Amen. Amen.
Actually, I'm going to read the rest of my sermon when we're all standing. Because if I'm standing, then we can all stand, right?
Amen.
Because I know how difficult it is to preach in the afternoon. Especially because it comes just after lunch. Hallelujah. Okay. Please, if you feel like you want to stretch a little straight, so
Amen.
You can take your seats, but try to make sure that. Allow me to finish this song.
Take your time.
I'm only getting this is I'm still dealing with the introduction, then I start the real song.
Glory to God.
I'm still laying the ground.
Amen. That's
and then I'll come to the word.
Bring the word. Bring it, Pastor. Bring the word.
The power of God's word. Listen, brethren, when you go to church, many of us have prayed and said, God, speak to me. And we think God is going to come in shaking the leaves of the trees and rumbling like a plane or a helicopter. But God speaks in places like this.
Yes, he does.
And I know that in my voice, there must be a word for somebody in this place.
Amen.
And God speaks to all of us many times.
Yes, he does.
When we come to congregate, sometimes he will speak through the person on the pulpit, or he will speak, prompt a prophet to speak. I can testify a number of times, God, I needed to hear from the Lord in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And Prophet Carl here, unctioned by the Lord, spoke the right word into my life.
Yeah.
And I went back and sent my wife and I'm itching to say it to her, and she's itching to say it to me, did you hear the word of God?
Glory to God.
And we've seen the hand of the Lord, and the pastor will preach, and then we go home and like, did you hear the answer for our prayer this morning?
Amen. Glory to God.
Listen, brethren. The man of God, Eli, had this woman's answer.
Amen.
She did.
Amen.
But a number of things had to come together. She had to be there physically.
Yes,
she did.
She had to cry out to God.
Yes, she did.
The prophet had to see her.
Right.
The prophet had to misunderstand her. She had to speak back. And the prophet spoke. And the word of the prophet changed the situation. This woman had been married many years and she was barren. But the word of the prophet, let's see how the prophet does it. And this prophet, he says it jokingly almost. He says, okay, go in peace. He didn't add you drunkard, but I'm the one adding. Go in peace, you drunkard. And may the God of Israel grant you.
Glory, glory, glory.
That is
glory, glory, glory.
That is what this woman needed spoken into her life. But now listen to this. That sometimes the very situations we hate are the situations that are activating and prompting the word of God to come out for us. It was being misunderstood. that activated and prompted the prophet to speak into her life.
Right.
If he hadn't misunderstood her, he wouldn't have spoken into her life. Sometimes those people you think are your neighbors who hate you or don't like you, God is using them to activate his word in you or for you. Sometimes those people who are passing you on the road and causing you rage and cutting you off. I know that's the one area that's going to prevent all of us from going to heaven, because they cut you off and you want to cut them back off, and they raise past you and you want to show them that your car is newer, more powerful. They all have four wheels. And they all get there anyway in the end.
Right.
Hallelujah. The power of God's word. You know, the Bible says he sent his word and healed them. The Bible says in Psalms 138 verse 2, he has lifted his word above his name.
Oh, glory.
He sent the word and saved them. Psalms 107 verse 20, 2 Chronicles 20:20. Jehoshaphat believe his prophets. Believe his word. It will save you. It will deliver you. It will set you free. It will work miracles in your life. Let me begin to go with you. Knowing God's word is knowing God. And we should therefore dwell in the word, and the word dwell in us. John 15:7. Jesus said, those who know him will dwell in his word, and his word will dwell in them. John 15:7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you.
Come on.
Why is it that sometimes we pray and we don't get the answer? He says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and you will get it. Who of you has got everything you've asked for? Me, I'm here, and there are things I've asked for. The dear God, the man, I'm saying, you know, the sovereignty of God means that timing belongs to God.
Yes,
amen.
I want it now. I want it now. Now. And the Lord says, the Lord was looking for a prophet to replace Eli. Hannah was crying for a child. The timing had to come together. The prophet being born and the child being given to her. Because maybe if Samuel had been born earlier, he would have been the prophet that replaces Eli.
Yeah.
Timing belongs to God.
Amen. Glory.
The sovereignty
word
of God.
Amen.
The word has its own power. Don't let material things crowd out God from that space. Today, many of us have missed the word of God and opportunities because it didn't come from somebody we like. It didn't come from somebody who looks like us. It didn't come from somebody who looks impressive.
Oh, come on.
It didn't come from somebody who is intelligent enough and knows how to organize things.
See,
it came from this boy from Uganda.
Yes, glory to God. Glory to God.
Don't miss.
Amen. Amen.
The voice
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Yes.
Because you're looking for the familiar.
Yes.
Because you're looking for a specific type of people. They may even be your enemies. They may not be the people you like, but
right.
Speaks. One other thing that comes out in this is the reverence of God.
Yeah.
You know, Eli kind of rushed to talk, judge this woman. But the Bible tells us clearly, when you are in the presence of God, do not rush to speak. Ecclesiastes 5:2-4. It was never easy for me to say the word Ecclesiastes when I was young. What is the book of Ecclesiastes?
Oh, amen.
Maybe it's not there in my Bible. I don't know. Ecclesiastes chapter 5.
Yeah.
Verse 2-4 says, do not be quick with your mouth. Let me start from 1. Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know what they are doing. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven.
Yes.
You are on earth. Let your words be few.
Amen.
A dream comes where there are many cares, and many words mark the speech of a fool. You make a vow to God, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow.
Amen.
It is better not to make a vow than make one and not fulfill it. Do not let your mouth lead you into sin. And do not protest to the temple messenger and say, my vow was a mistake. Let's go back to the story of Hannah and finish. Verse 19. Early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant. He gave birth to his son. She named him Samuel, saying, because I asked the Lord for him. What touched me here is worship. You know, worshiping God. Pain did not prevent her from worshiping. Just because she hadn't seen what she was praying for did not deter her from worshiping God. She hadn't yet got a child, she hadn't yet got pregnant. She worshiped God. Let us be worshippers, brethren. Sometimes in your house, just close those doors. And you don't have to know how to play the guitar and the but just worship.
Amen.
Just worship in your own way.
Right.
Abandon yourself to worship.
Right.
Amen.
Sometimes, amen. Once in a while, just do that. You know, I'm reminded that how there were two brothers whose books we read a lot in Uganda. They were missionaries. One was a missionary in Russia, the other was a missionary in India, in China. I don't know whether it was Richard Wombrand or Andrew Bodensmart. Anybody heard about those people? These are brethren who were smuggling Bibles in behind the red curtains in Russia and in China. And then there was a brother in one of those books, there was the story of a brother who was arrested. He was a Christian. They arrested him, I think, in China. I don't remember whether in China or Russia, but he was arrested and they took him to go and work, to go and manufacture manure on a human place. And it was so stinky that even the guards could not come anywhere near. And then this brother realized that actually God had created an opportunity for him to worship where nobody is watching. because since nobody was, the guards were not anywhere near, he could actually worship God, glorify Him with abandon in this very environment. So may whatever environment we find ourselves in not deter us from worshiping God.
That's a good word.
And when we worship, it's just worship. Just worship. Enjoy God.
Yeah.
Job 120. Job worship. 2 Samuel 12, 19 to 20. David loses his child.
Mm-hmm.
And David worships God.
Mm-hmm.
Four more things that I'm quiet. 24, verse 24. Time has passed. Hannah has given birth. And then time to go to Shiloh, where the prophet is, to go and make offerings and sacrifices to God, has arrived. Verse 23, Hannah says to her husband, I am not going this year. You go, I am not coming. So Elkanah, the husband, and the other family members go, but Hannah remains behind. And then Hannah eventually says this, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, pardon me, my Lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
For his whole life, he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Fulfilling a very difficult path. I can imagine this woman. And all of us praise Abraham, because Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. But here is a woman who actually literally sacrificed her son. And nobody talks about that. But she did. To get, you have had no child, and you get a two-year-old child, and you take him to a man who abused you, insulted you. The man called her a drunkard.
Yes, he did.
And she's getting the boy and taking the boy to the same man.
Yes, he did.
That means she saw more than the drunkard. She saw more than the insult. She saw something in that man. She saw something beyond the obvious. Do you see when you talk with people, you relate with people?
Come on.
Or do you just see what you see on the outside?
Right. Come on, man. You got this.
Hannah fulfilled the vow. Mm-hmm. Hannah sacrificed not just the bull, but also the boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, serving the Lord calls for great humility.
Mm-hmm.
Serving the Lord calls for great humility. Hannah, this level of humility overtakes me. Praise the name of the living God. In verses 1 to 10 of chapter 2, and I'll not take you through all of them, but then Hannah prayed and said, God gave her a song. My heart rejoices in the Lord. By the way, there is a verse in here, the verse that I read to the people when my son went to be with the Lord. My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies. For I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly, or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for food, but those who were hungry are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises it up. Verse 7, the Lord sends poverty and wealth.
Lord, why am I struggling?
The Lord says,
this is the devil.
The Lord says, the Lord says, wealth and poverty. The Lord gives life and takes the life away. But my prayer is God in his sovereignty will give each one of us a song. May God give you a song of praise. Whatever situation and whatever circumstance you're going through, may the Lord give you a song. May the Lord give you each one of us a song. Brother, which song can you sing for us now as we conclude? That we go out with a song. Can we sing, "Oh Lord my God, when I know someone, how great thou art"? Sister Melon, can you, brother, just, can you guys let us sing? Let us go out of this place with a song. Because we serve a God who answers prayer.
Yeah.
We serve a God who ministers into our situations.
Yeah.
He is sovereign. He is above every circumstance.
Yeah.
Yes, we may be going through challenges, but the Lord has an answer. Praise the name of the living God. Let's sing, and may God bless each one of you as you go, as we sing. Oh.
That's a good word, Pastor.
Thank you.
abominable gods, for you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the sovereign God of glory, and Lord above you there is no other. So we honor you, we praise you, we bless you, we magnify your holy name, O God. And King of kings, we thank you for the word you've spoken unto us this afternoon. We pray in the name of Jesus that the Spirit of God will take this word and quicken it inside of us, that the word of God will bear the fruit for which you intended it, O God. Let it bring healing to those who need healing. Let it bring encouragement to those who need encouragement. Let it bring deliverance to those who need deliverance. Let it bring inner strength, O God. And let it fill us with the joy of the Lord. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let it bring peace into our hearts, O God. O God, and may that peace keep our hearts in all that we do. And let your name be glorified. Lord, I pray a blessing upon everybody. As they go back to their homes, as they go through what they're going to do, as we go to do what you have said for us in this coming week, O God. Let your face shine upon us, O God. Let your countenance, O God, be turned toward us, O God. Let your grace abound in our direction, O Father. Let your name be our banner. Let your angels continually go before us. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.